Hello. Good morning. It is a real pleasure to be with you this morning. Myself and Rachel, who was up earlier, have been with you guys this weekend. We spent Friday night doing training for the Keys to Freedom course that we've been talking about. Yesterday, we were with a group of about 35 of you, so it's nice to see some familiar faces as well. And we did a training day for the people helpers of the church. And then it is a real privilege to be with you this morning for something that we're calling Freedom Sunday. It's just been a real privilege to come and have like a quality weekend with you guys and get to know people, to build relationship, to eat Jo's food, which I have to say was incredible. She did this korma, forget the message, she did this korma, right? And it's squash, spinach, flavoursome, and then dessert brownie, you know, and it just melts in the mouth. And ice cream on the side, and it was just beautiful. We could talk about that all the time, but I did prep something, so I'll refer back to my prayer for us today. As we come and we gather around the Word of God, my heart and what I've been talking to Jesus about is that we would each be able to take one step closer to Jesus, to go one step deeper in our relationship with him. Whether you find yourself this morning, if Jesus is quite a new idea to you, or whether you would consider yourself someone who has known and walked with him for years, I hope this message just gives you an opportunity to take a step deeper and to encounter him in a new way. So like I said, my name's Shell. I've worked at Mercy UK for 2.5 years. And was volunteered with them a little while before that. My day-to-day, my 9-to-5, Monday to Friday, is that I'm in the support services team. So we have a team that are available. We have church leaders, people that are struggling themselves, often parents, and people in pastoral roles get in touch with us. And we just exist to support, to equip the church to be able to do what she's designed to do, to bring freedom, to help people meet with Jesus and to see his kingdom, heaven, come to earth. I've been married 7 months, so that's a little insight into a bit about me. So I'll share with you a little bit from my journey today and a little bit from Mercy as well. But if anyone has any marriage tips, see me afterwards. 7 months in, going good so far, but if anyone's got any, Matt, you had a couple of tips for me last night that I've banked away. See what Liz says about that. But we had a great time with you guys, and it would just be a pleasure to pray for you before we delve in. Is that okay? Amazing. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present among us. Thank you that there is always more with you. Thank you, God, that you have found yourself amongst us today with gifts of freedom, with gifts of hope, with gifts of restoration. And so we consciously choose to open ourselves up to you afresh and what it is that you would have us hear from you today. Thank you, God, that you would use an ordinary woman like me to bring an extraordinary word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amazing. We have chatted a little bit about Keys to Freedom, the course we have at Mercy. Could we just do that show of hands again for those that have done the course? Amazing. So it looks a little bit like this. We've got a stand out there, and Rachel and I will be there to chat to you about it if you would like to find out more, because I think it's going to go for another round soon here at Welton Baptist. But this course contains keys. It's biblical principles, like Rachel touched on. There's things like forgiveness. What an amazing gift that God's given us. The fact that we can be released from bitterness, the fact that we don't need to sit and dwell in the pain of life, because sometimes life hurts, doesn't it? But he's given us a gift that we can be free. And Rachel mentioned renewing the mind as well. Did you know we have 18 to 50,000 thoughts every day, and the majority of those are involuntary? There's a bit of room for some grace there, isn't it, for the stuff that we think about. But the fact that both the Bible and science are saying that we can think differently, we can actually renew the mind like Romans 12 talks about, and we can realign our neurological pathways to be different, to think different. You're not stuck the way you are. How good is that? Using your authority in Christ, Jesus has given us his name. We can say it, we can declare, we can see situations changed. Wow. How good is our God that he would equip us, that he would come from heaven to earth, and that he would love us so well, and that he would leave us with tools to be able to live the free and full life that he promised us. Personally, when I did the course, for those of you, this might be some familiar language that have done it, but we look at root causes of behaviours. And for me, the root causes that God led me to be aware of were fear and insecurity. So that was those were things that for me would often come up, and I would often find myself battling with fearful thoughts, with insecure thoughts. And the result of that was that I would find myself trying to please people, that I would adapt according to the situation that I was in. If someone wanted me to be this kind of person, if someone wanted me to joke with them in this way, I would change who I was because I was fearful to not be accepted, and I was insecure that people wouldn't love me. And God took me on a journey with fear and insecurity. And I used these keys that we've spoken about. I was able to forgive people. I was able to use authority and to declare and speak and tell myself actually who I am in Christ. But all of these keys are amazing. But unless they are done in relationship with Jesus, we're just going to get tired. And they're not necessarily going to have the impact and the effect that they have the power to if they're not said with Jesus' name. So I'd love to take us to the Word. And we're going to join Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 13. Matthew chapter 16. And we're doing verse 13 to 18. I'm starting verse 13, and it says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi." And I'm actually going to pause there, because some context can usually be helpful, can't it, when we get into the Word and finding out where Jesus was, why was he there? So Caesarea Philippi, first of all, it's worth noting, was 16 miles out of Jesus's way. It's him and his disciples, and they're walking 16 miles. So there's purpose, isn't there? There's a reason that he's taken this detour to go and have this conversation in this place. And Caesarea Philippi was a civilization built against a cliff face. And that cliff face had the faces of gods, the people's gods, carved into it. And they actually called it the Rock of the Gods. And they built a temple around the cave that was in there. And in the cave, there was a wellspring. And they believed that that was the birthplace of the god called Pan, who is the creator of panic and chaos and disruption. So we find Jesus going to this place, this dark place where in the temple, horrendous things happened. There was child sacrifice. There were temple prostitutes. This was not the place you go for a picnic, for a quick catch up with the disciples. But why has Jesus gone there? What does he have to say in this place? Jewish men weren't even allowed to go there. It was forbidden that they would go there. So he's taken this bunch of teenagers, his group of disciples, and he's taken them to this spiritually dark place. Why would Jesus do that? When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter, he answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock," not the rock of the gods, "on this rock, on this faith, on this personal revelation. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, which is what they called the temple that they were by, will not overcome it. Who they say Jesus is not enough. Who the mats say Jesus is not enough. The elders, your house group leaders, who they say Jesus is brilliant, and it's great to have those conversations, but it's not enough. That's not your freedom. Listening to a podcast online, awesome. Coming and listening to the word today, brilliant. Raising your hands, giving your all in worship, fab. Getting a 8-week discipleship course, brilliant. Not your freedom. Who Jesus is to you, that is where you find your freedom. In the personal relationship that you and him have. You and him. Who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? Because did you know that Jesus will only be to you who you say he is? Do you call him Prince of Peace? Do you call him Provider? Is he Healer to you? Because yes, he is those things, and yes, he can be those things. But if that's not a personal revelation and a personal declaration that you have, he can only do that so much because it's not being allowed into your heart. Who do you say he is? Maybe you've been searching for freedom. Maybe you've been fighting for freedom. Maybe there's a situation that comes to mind, a health issue, finance. Maybe you're struggling with mental health and the thoughts just won't stop. Who do you say he is? Who's he going to be to you in the highs and the lows, in the joy and the triumph and in the struggle? Who do you say he is? Then that's who he'll be to you. It's likely to be a journey. I'm not saying that Jesus is my healer. Boom. Sometimes it happens. And who knows, it's awesome when it happens. But there is a journey and there is a relationship. But let's start this morning by taking that risk and declaring who Jesus is for us, for me, for you. Because freedom's not a destination. Freedom's a person, and his name is Jesus. In John 8, we often hear the quote, don't we, the truth will set you free. And amen, the truth does set you free, but that's not quite what Jesus says. If we go to the scripture, it says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then it says, then you will know the truth. And it's that truth, the truth that you know, that will set you free. If you hold to Jesus' teaching, if you have a relationship with him, if you hear his words, if you listen, if you build on that, then that truth that is real to you, that's where freedom comes. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3, reading from the Amplified Version, it says, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through. True and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. On Friday, I received some tough news. Somebody that I have been part of supporting for 3 to 4 years passed away. But Jesus is my Prince of Peace. And yeah, it was tough. And yes, there's a grieving process. And yes, there will be a journey. But he's my Prince of Peace. And so I knew that peace. As soon as I heard that news, there's the oof that comes, but not a compromise of my Jesus' peace. Who do you say he is? In those moments, whether you're in a tough moment right now, or if you're in a great moment, or somewhere in the middle, who are you going to say he is right now? If you find yourself in one of the good moments in life, things are going well, use that time. Use that time to get yourself ready for when maybe stuff won't be so good. Start a conversation with Jesus. Who are you to me, God? And begin to get to know him more. There's always more with him, isn't there? Which is amazing. We're never done. I would love to invite Rachel now to jump up, because we mentioned that at Mercy UK we have a residential program. And that is for young women aged 18 to around 30 who might have life controlling issues such as self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, depression, anxiety. And they can come to us for a free of charge 6-month discipleship program. They come and live with us in a beautiful home in Yorkshire. And they go on a journey looking at these keys that we mentioned earlier. But ultimately, we have the privilege of signposting them to Jesus, who is their freedom. And Rachel, who works in the home, is just going to share with us a testimony from one of our residents who's graduated the programme.
Thank you, Shell. Yes, I have the privilege of working in the residential programme with these women. And so this morning I want to share a testimony of a former resident called Becky. So we have a culture in our home where no matter what the residents past, we don't know whether they have truly experienced the love of God before. So when we welcome them into the home, we want them to feel loved, we want them to feel valued, to know their true worth and how God sees them. So one of the things we do is on Valentine's Day, we make a point of showering the residents with love, to know that their Heavenly Father loves them and that they are seen and loved and chosen and for who they are. So for our former resident, Becky, she had a previous relationship that had caused her a lot of hurt. And so Valentine's Day was something she wasn't looking forward to. It brought up a lot of feelings of hurt and made her feel uncomfortable and a little bit angry. And in the programme, that day was going to be difficult for her. So one of the gifts that she received from the staff had written out a love letter to each resident of how much the Father loved, how much her Heavenly Father loved her. And she had that written truth in front of her. But what she heard in her heart was God say, "I love you." And that was a transformational moment for Becky, because that was the first time she'd heard God speak to her about how much he loved her. It was a personal revelation. And it's really exciting to be able to share graduate testimonies from our former residents, because I can say that I know Becky. I know that she is now walking in more freedom, that is coming in more layers as she continues to walk out this journey. She is a mother to two children, and she can share that love and cherish her children in the way that she has now been cherished.
Thank you. It was that moment, wasn't it, when she heard directly from her Heavenly Father, "I love you." And there was a beautifully written letter from a staff member. And all the time Becky was there, she would have been showered with love and encouragement and praise. But it was the moment that her Heavenly Father said, "I love you," that things changed. When she had that direct encounter with the one who made her, when she had that moment where she got to learn that her Creator loves her. And that's then a conversation that she can continue to have with him for the rest of her life. And it's an invitation to all of us here too. I'd love to jump back into the word, but we're going to rewind a little bit into the Old Testament, and we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll summarize it for you for time's sake, but here we find Samuel while he was quite young, before he'd actually heard from God before, and he was serving Eli, and Samuel had gone to bed and he hears a voice. It says Samuel, so he gets up, presumes it must be Eli, and says, "Yeah, what's up? How can I help?" And he's like, "I didn't call you." And so, weird, goes back to bed. Samuel gets up and checks in with Eli. It still wasn't him. And Eli says, "Next time you hear your name called, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes back to bed, and sure enough, Samuel. And he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God goes on to share with him a prophecy. And Samuel goes on to, as we know, live an incredibly prophetic life, anointing kings and doing an incredible work. But he didn't recognize God's voice, did he? Because he didn't know God. He hadn't spoken with God before. In the same way, if we don't know somebody, we wouldn't recognize their voice. So, Matt, if you could close your eyes for me for a second. Can you cover your ears and go, la, 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 la? La. Where's Liz? Is Liz here? Has she gone out? Who's close with Matt? Who's got a good relationship with Matt? Anybody? Who is it? Alice. Cheers, Matt. Nice one, thanks. So I'm going to ask you to, smooth as anything, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and somebody is going to greet you. And I want you to tell me who it is that's greeted you. Is that okay?
Yep.
Brilliant. So could the individual please come forward? And you can do any accent, any voice you like. I'd like you to come and greet Matt for me. Thanks. Just say, "Hello, Matt." Choose any voice you like.
"Hello, Matt."
Matt, do you have any idea who it is that stands before you?
Could I do it again?
"Hello, Matt."
Is it Alice?
Yeah. Open your eyes. Beautiful. I'm so glad you got that one right. Amazing. And if you could close your eyes one more time for me, Matt. And if this person could just greet Matt and say, "Hello, Matt," for me.
"Hello, Matt."
Any idea who stands before you, Matt?
No idea.
Do you want to try again one more time?
Yep.
"Hello, Matt."
Oh, I'm really sorry. It could be embarrassing, but I don't know.
Wow, church leader doesn't know the voice of somebody. It's because he's not in your congregation. This is my dad, everybody, who has come with me here today. Thanks, Dad. I'm actually just from Yate originally, so even though I'm living up in Bradford now, so I brought my mum and dad with me, and we're going to go for a roast later, which I'm also, what a great food weekend, I've been very blessed. But Matt knew Alice's voice because they have a relationship. Matt has hopefully taken time to get to know Alice a little bit, and they've spent time in conversation, and they have built up a friendship, a relationship. However, my dad and Matt have never met before. So he's not going to recognise his voice, is he? Sometimes with God, we can go to him for the big stuff, which is great. For the, "Please help me," for the, "Where are yous?" For the, "I need help with this," which is good. And God loves it when we do that. But like with any relationship, there is an invitation to get to know each other, to ask questions, to spend time with each other. When you meet a new friend, you don't go straight in with the deep, unanswerable questions of, "Why is there suffering?" But you, "Hi, how are you? Oh, what's your name?" And you get to know a person, don't you, like with any relationship. There's an invitation to do the same thing with God, with Jesus. And when Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," that word "listening" in the Hebrew is actually something called shama. And shama means to hear intelligently, to often with implication of attention and obedience, to listen, to tune in, to be all there and ready to obey what we hear. Do you shama listen to God? Do you take those moments to ask and to listen? Because I think it's such a busy world, isn't it? It can be so easy to, "God, please, can you help me with this situation?" And then you've got to run and pick the kids up. Or, "God, please, can you do something here? But now I've got to go and do this." And those prayers are totally okay. And Romans 8 teaches us that there's no condemnation. So there's guilt, any guilt that you might feel can just melt away because it's not from him. But there is an invitation for us to pause and for us to ask and hear back from God. Just before we come to a close, I'd love to give us an opportunity just to ask God a question, if that's okay. Just to kickstart a conversation that maybe you want to take home with you. So we can ask God the big questions, but he also is friend. The Bible teaches us that God is friend to us as well. So let's take a moment now to ask him a question as friend. And yes, God is powerful. He is mighty, and we should revere him, and we should be God-fearing. But he's also friend. He's also good, and he's also available to speak with us and to answer some silly questions. Let's not limit him to the big stuff. But let's take a moment now to ask God a friendship question. This is something we do with the residents in our program, which just to, when you're dealing with big stuff in life, sometimes just going back to that friendship with Jesus is what you need. So let's take a moment now. If you feel comfortable, I invite you to close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask a question to God and encourage you not to overthink it, but just see what the first thing that comes to mind, whether it's a thought, a picture, a feeling, a sense. And just repeat after me, either out loud or in your head, the question, and we'll just pause for 10 seconds. God, if you were to liken me to anything in creation, what would it be? We'll just give 10 seconds. Maybe something popped into your head, maybe it didn't. No worries either way. But God wants to speak to you. And any time that God says something to us, it's an invitation for a conversation. So if you all keep your eyes closed and let's ask God, if you saw, felt, sensed something, why that? Why that thing? Feel free to take a moment to jot down anything you feel like God might have said to you, or hold on to that. For some of us, that might be a new way of talking to God. For some of us, that might be how we chat to him in general. But I felt God asked me to come today just to encourage you that he is there for a friendship with you. Consider, who do you say he is? And he will be that to you. But how do you get to know who somebody is? You have a conversation. You build a relationship. We call when we travel and speak on Sundays, we call them Freedom Sundays. And my prayer for you today is that whatever it is that you are facing, that you need freedom from, or you're praying for freedom to, that you would find it found in the one place where we can truly receive it, in your relationship with Jesus. Thank you so much for having me this morning. Be blessed.